Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Jackpot Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast, Jackpot Radio. Tape number 34 is now on the air. I'll be your host by name, your Seer Israel of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Covenant to Exile, the Biblical Godly Journey of the True Israel, the Israelites, from coming out of the Eastern world to the Western world, and now it's scattered to every nation upon the sun. So it was prophesied that you, the people of the book, just that for example, if you don't know you the people of the book, the prophecy of a people in the Bible called the children of Israel, the Israelites, for being disobedient to the covenant that they agreed on, they will be scattered to every nation upon the sun. So whoever fits that prophecy, that is the biblical children of Israel. You can go from the Far East all the way to China and Japan. You'll find the children of Israel there. You can go all the way to far Russia, and you can find the children of Israel there. You can go as far as wherever. You can find the children of Israel, but the children of Israel will be in the land, but they will not know who they are. They'll be called by the powers to be, and they especially will be called a religion, more than a people. So once this children, they right now they call them Jews, Jewish, Hebrews. They call them all these names. You know why? Because that is a distraction. The only name he gave the children of Jacob in 32:28 was the name Israel. And his children became the Israelites. So when you put on any other name on the children of Israel, the Israelites, that is an error according to the scripture. So that's why they call Jews, Hebrews, African Americans, Negroes, colored, supercoon, and born again Christian. They be called all these names, which is a distraction from you knowing who you really are, because once you know who you really are, you'll start reading this Bible totally different once you know that your bloodline relatives are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Now, once you know that, start reading this Bible totally different, and you will not let your pastor tell you you don't need the left side of the book anymore. Well, if you don't have your foundation, then what can you do? To tell you in Psalm 11, verse 3, if your foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So that's wrong, Mr. Preacher. You got to have your foundation, because remember, the greatest legacy you can leave your loved ones is the truth. But you got to hear the truth first. And that's why they're coming this airway 6 nights a week. Become humble. To show you what you need to know to examine yourself through the pages of the Bible. Examine yourself from the pages of the Bible, even in relationships. He covers every base in the Bible, even relationships. How a successful relationship according to the Bible will work. See, all this information we come to bring you daily is like we want to teach on tonight, whatever come up. We got a couple of memos that came in, and they want some clarification on a couple of things. So once the left side packs in, on the international side, it's over 900,000 and plus on the international side. But on the side that those that come in to read and get in where they fit in at, they very light. So that's the reason I got to do a little talking until they come in and go get something going on. Or if I talk long enough and the left side haven't got prepared, that's why I tell you, get in where you fit in at. If you want to do the Almighty's business, get in where you fit in. What do you think you good at? Get in there. Now, our elder, Mr. Till, Israel, he'll be in a little bit later. He said, see, I'll be a few minutes later getting in, but I'll definitely be ready to do my part. That's a great thing there. Elder, Mr. Till, Israel. So he'll be in a little bit later. That give me a chance to kind of let you know about some things coming up. Like, for example, you just got to celebrate Easter. That ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. That's a Roman Catholic Christian teaching. You're supposed to celebrate Passover. Passover. The Almighty Son is your Passover lamb. He's the Passover lamb. And he tell you in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8, keep that feast. Not Easter. Easter is a distraction from you. Understand that as long as you continue to go contrary to this Bible, you're going to blow your blessings. And you want to make sure you got your blessings lined up, because you never know when the man is going to shut you down. So you got to make sure you clearly that you advancing yourself in total information. You know, don't kick. First of all, hear something, take notes, investigate it. Just like for example, if somebody comes to you and says, you know, your better half is around the corner and skinning and grinning with such a person, I bet you go check that out, right? That's how you got to do your Bible. I mean, check it out. When you hear something, go do the research on it. Learn how to research. Learn how to help yourself. You better help, then you letting your light shine. Don't just take nobody's word for it. Don't take those seals' word for it. Just get in where you fit in. Don't take the seals' word for it. Look at the Bible, and what the Bible says, that's what you do. Do the Bible. See? So we come on in 6 nights a week, and we got some memos in. Folks got another memo in that there was a question asked to me about, Sarah, what do you think is best for us to do, Sarah? Well, like I say, but the option we got on the table is to, now I prefer looking out the window, north, south, east, west, as the temple is built north, east, south, west. But if we have to go away to come back, then I'd make the adjustment. But it would be so convenient for those seers to look right outside, north, east, south, west, and see the temple built from the ground up, you know, along with all the doodads that go with it. Then I can be able to peep on things north, east, south, west. But once we get where the seer got to travel, then somebody can wake the seer out and say, well, no, he gone now. Now we can do some damage. But if we do the building close enough where we can peep north, south, east, west, I'll be very happy. So that's my number one option, is to look out the window and see ground up, build from the ground all the way up, north, east, south, west. I prefer that, but I can make the adjustment to have to go down that way. You know, that means I got to always get a ride down that way. And then they can wake me out. I say, well, he gone now. They finally gone. Now we can cause them some trouble. But if everything built, you know, on from the ground up, all I got to do is look out the window, north, east, south, west, and see everything we need. So if that's possible to start there first, that'd be great. But if we got to go away, we'll make the adjustment to come back. So we'll do whatever it takes. But my opinion of what is best for those seers is just look out the window and see all the new growth coming in after one north, east, south, west. And that's my opinion. So now you heard my opinion. So now you heard my opinion on what I think about it. Do I understand everything? Yes, I do. I understand everything. But it'd be much easier for me to look out the window, north, south, east, west, and keep all the people off balance than to have to go down that way. Then once we have left, then they can cause us a problem that we can avoid, if it can be avoided. So now you got my answer. You got it? Good. All right, good. All right, remember the feast day coming up on the 13th at evening. The feast is coming up. It's called the Passover feast. That feast is coming up. Passover feast. It's coming up. And what we're going to do, we're just going to, until those is ready to come in on the right side. Don't seem to put a tape on right now because the harvest is plenty, but the labor is through. And then we'll come back a little bit later after those on the left side came in. I know the International Society is ready to go. And I got a lot of things I need to speak on, these memos I got too, about something was said. I want to kind of take a look at that. So we'll wait until the left side getting ready to go. Although the right side is ready to go, but the left side is not ready to go. So you know what we'll do? We'll put a tape on for right now. Remember, the Passover is what the Almighty wants you to keep. The Passover. Are you getting the pass, keep the Passover? We got six locations. You come. We got one in South Carolina, number one, six. You can go to Baltimore, Maryland, five, four. You can go to Detroit, four, three, Kankakee, two, Springfield, and one, Chicago. And remember, mother adopted out of camp too. Now, if you ever really want to come on the broadcast and get in and holler in the microphone, you know you're more than welcome. Well, Camp 2 out of Springfield, mother of doctrine. But one thing about it, we got to lead by example. So mother adopted, if you, when you do hear the taping, if you're ready to get on that broadcast and holler that microphone out of Camp 2, those out there around Camp 2, remember, you're more than weapons. It's all about one thing, build up our nation. A sixth on the camp got to be the one to make this thing happen. So keep that in your mind. Camp 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Come on, get in where you've been in at. It's a big job ahead of us. To get the blessing we want to get, we got to get in where we've been in at. That's what y'all do. So I'm looking for a tape to put on both right now. And then I'll come back once anybody ready to holler in that microphone. Because they're always ready to holler that microphone. Because we got to be ready, because any day can be your last day. So we're going to look for a tape. Now, that we'll play Oprah for a minute first. Then we find a tape to put on. And once they get ready to come in properly, then we'll come back live.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off.
Yes.
Which, may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here. But I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
Yeah, that's Saturday. Sundown Friday, sundown Saturday.
The east,
We are Eastern people, the children of the hook. Doesn't allow us all cast our day's date, but it's take for hearing. April 8, 2024. We got about less than a week for the Passover. The Passover. Not Easter. The Passover. I want the young line while he's looking at this thing. Can quote that article again about Leopold. Something Leopold said, I want you to get down with the part where Leopold said, he said, the teaching, learn how to read, but not to comprehend anything. So young lives be looking around for that, dating somewhere in the broadcast, on Pope King Leopold say, we going to the missionary, the Christian Roman Catholic Church, go over there and teach them how to read. Latin and English, but don't let them comprehend anything. You explain to them what that means. So we're going to see how can we bounce off of that after you read a little bit of that there, young line. So, live broadcast. Remember, no broadcast tomorrow on this broadcast on Tuesday, but we will be on Pal Talk Live by 7 o'clock. You can tune in and get you a nice big better for the Just Ask Yahuwah. We'll be back on this radio right here Wednesday. So Yahuwah be with y'all. I'll kick number 33. And we're going to bring that young lion in and see if he's ready to get in that microphone, do a little roaring. And that's the good thing. Look out. So we meet the young lions up and come and teach you how to count one, Brother Titus Israel. Yahuwah be just being right.
Yahuwah bless you there. Here, Israel, Steve Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Like that spirit you got there, young lion, was all about. So it made a final statement based on that. You read the book of Numbers. He told Moses, look out there, Moses, and look out there and give me 70 elders that got the same spirit you got. So they won't be on a different spirit than you on. They'll be on what you on. Now he started to, my father might read that a little bit later. So, young line, this is take number 33. So let's take a look at it and see what can we come out with. Luke. Chapter 12, first book. You can get going on there, young lion. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12 reads, "But the righteous spirit to teach you at the same hour what you ought to say."
In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And old sin believed that. Yeah, the old sin, he believed that the right spirit would teach you in that very same hour. But again, like we saying earlier yesterday, remember, Church of Israel, we're going to have to get our health together. And the only way you can get your health together, you got to make sure you got God before you first. Then you have to change. You got to put the king's knee down. The key to it, you got to put the king's knee down. You want to get your health back in order where you not have to go visit Doc Cook. You want to keep Yahuwah first. And you got to change your intake. Because the reason why we have to take so much medicine and stuff like that today, because we don't know who we are. And matter of fact, y'all might read that in the book of Thomas. This wasn't put in the canon, but in the book of Thomas, they made a profound statement there, y'all line. See, we got to know who we are.
present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed-Well. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
All right, we live. Take number 34, and it's live broadcast on Wednesday, the fourth month, 10th day, 2024. And we see Mother Eon came on the broadcast, so we might well get something going on. And Mother D.F. Israel be on a little bit later, and the elders. So Mother E, we got to get on down the road, like I said again, take care of this man business. We want all the blessings we can get. So we're going to bring Mother E in, and we just get something going on for this the fourth month, the 10th day, 2024. So, Mother E, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Yahuwah bless you, that's Seed Royal.
Yahuwah bless you, Seed Israel, that's Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, hallelujah, Yahuwah, Mother. Well, one thing about it, Mother, the harvest is plenty, but the labors is few. And the one that will get that blessing from Yahuwah is the one got to get in and make it happen. So that's what it's all about. Got to get in and make it happen because we want all the blessing we can get. So, Mother, we don't be just going to throw a few things down. I got a lot of memos that came in. So we'll just kind of take a look at a few things. So a lot of people is confused about a few things. And these memos came in. And I want to correct a few of them if I can. But how about looking at that Luke chapter 12, verse 12 there, Mother E. Hey, Mother E, what's that Luke 12 sound like?
The book of Luke. Chapter 12, verse 12. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
In that very same hour, Mother, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And that's what we want. Because, you know, David made a statement about that, Mother. David said something about that in the 51st chapter. Let me show you. Now, David, he was the second king over Israel. He made a statement about that, Mother. Let's see what David said in Psalm 51. He said, listen here. He said, you're going to bless my hand on everything. But he said, Almighty, do me one favor. Let's find out what he said, Mother. What he said he wants the Almighty Yahuwah do for him. In Psalm 51, there, Mother, deep, Mother, see? Let's see, in the 51st chapter, he made a profound statement what he wants to happen for him. And what he said in verse number 6. We'll read a little bit. Go on, verse 6. We'll read a little bit, Mother. Let's see what's going on in Psalm 51, verse 6. We'll read down to get our point about what David said. Psalm 51, pick it up at verse number 6. And we'll read down a little bit. Come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 6. Behold, thy desire truth in the inward part and in the hidden part. Thus shall make me to know wisdom. Verse 7. Purge me with chisel, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. that the bones which I have broken may rejoice. Verse 9. Art hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquitous sins. Verse 10. Create in me a clean mind, O Yahweh, and renew a righteous spirit within me. Verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy righteous spirit from me. Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Good. Right there, mother. So that's what we want. We want Yahweh's free spirit. And what we don't want Yahweh to take away from us is that free spirit, mother. And we want Yahweh to do what in verse 10? That mother, hey, Mother E, what he wants to do in verse 10?
Create in me a clean heart, mind.
Uh-huh. And what? In verse 10.
And renew a righteous spirit within me.
You see that? See, that's what we want Yahweh to do. And we don't want him to take that spirit, that old righteous spirit from us. We don't want him to do that, mother. But if he do that, we're in trouble. We can have all the money we want. And if he take that righteous spirit from us, now the sign of that righteous spirit being taken away from your mother, for you always be prepared to know it. Let me show it the precept of that is, mother. This how you know when that righteous spirit, that free spirit, have been taken away. This how you know, mother. See what you do? You go into 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16, and then you'll find out exactly what to look for when you can tell when an individual no longer have the righteous spirit. This is what you got to do, mother, in 1 Samuel 16. We're going to 1 Samuel 16, and we're going to find out, what do we look for to know that they do not have the righteous spirit with them anymore? What do you look for? It's in the 16th chapter, verse 13 down to verse 15. Now, this is what you watch for, mother. 1 Samuel 16. 13, 14, 15. What did it say that, mother?
1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 13 to 14. Then Samuel
took it down to verse 15. Take it down to 15.
Okay. 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the spirit of the Yahweh came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah 14. But the spirit of the Yahweh departed from Saul, an evil spirit from the Yahweh troubled him. 15. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from Yahweh troubled thee.
You see that, mother? That's it. So you see, what the servant said, they said, an evil spirit from Yahweh troubled him. So when you see somebody, when they get in trouble, they always agitated. Understanding, when you're agitated, mother, that means that evil spirit have got up on you. So the servants recognized that, because once David got anointed and the good spirit got up on him, then Yahweh sent an evil spirit on Saul, and Saul, the first king of Israel, he was troubled from that point on. So every time Saul get opportunity, he'd be wanting to try to kill David, because that evil spirit and the good spirit of Yahweh have been taken away from you. So how you know when you got the good spirit on your mother? Galatians 5:22. Let's see when you know when we got the good spirit on your mother. Well, you better peep at them, and you can tell when the evil spirit on them or the spirit of Yahweh on them. Now, in Galatians 5:22, mother, this is when you know that good spirit is working with you. Come on.
The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith.
You see that, mother? So when you got the Spirit of Yahweh working with you, that's what's going to come out your mouth. See that right there? So when you don't have it, now let's get a precept on that. Let's go to Nehemiah 13. Let's get a precept. Because see what happens, we supposed to be, the six anointed council be the role model on how to help those that come in. That's why they come on this broadcast humble, is to show them exactly what you got to do for Yahweh to intervene. So if we supposed to be the role model, and we got to lead by example. So now when you go to Nehemiah, mother, Nehemiah chapter 13, now I want to see when this spirit was first picked up on. So we're going to Nehemiah chapter 13 there, mother.
Nehemiah.
Well, right now, yeah, I'm struggling right now. Maybe it might be. I make that 9, Nehemiah chapter 9. Let's see what it says, mother, in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 14 and 16. Let's see what it says in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14 and 16.
The book of Nehemiah chapter 9. Verse 14 and 16. Verse 14. And made it known unto them the righteous Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hands of Moses, thy servant. 15. And gave them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought for water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land with thee, which thou hast sworn to give them.
Verse 16.
But they and our fathers built proudly, and harden their neck, and hearken not to their commandment.
You see that, mother? Now, what happened? Let's read a little bit more. What happened in verse 17, mother?
Verse 17, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of their wonder that thou didst. I'm going to read that verse again. Verse 17, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of their wonder that thou didst among them, but hardened their neck, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a Yahweh ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsaken them not.
You see that? And that's good. That's good. Now, when, because he was looking out for a mother, and look what he did in verse 20 for a mother. Hey, Mother Eve, look what he did for him in verse 20.
20. Okay. This gave us also that good spirit to instruct him. And with their not the manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst.
You hear that, Mother? So you see, when he pleased with your mother, he gonna give you what again in verse 20, Mother? Now when he pleased with you, he gonna give you what? Verse 20.
A good spirit.
There you go, Mother. There you go right there. So when he pleased with you, he gonna give you a good spirit. So but when he not pleased with you, he'll tell that evil spirit, you go on down there and work him over a little bit. That means he's not pleased with your mother. So when you catch someone that when they're all over the place, they're always confused, can't understand, don't want to understand, then you understand, according to the Bible, the Almighty has removed that good spirit, and he got that evil spirit troubling them. But the only way you can get rid of that evil spirit, you got to repent. You got to repent. I mean repent hard. But see, he'll give you that good spirit, and that good spirit will instruct you. That's what he do. It will instruct them. And guess what you have, Mother? Let's get one more in, because we see Mother D up Israel. She read it, hollering that microphone. I, Elder, he read it, hollering that microphone. So, Mother, all these signs we got to have, because Yahweh will do a marvelous work fixing on his camps. So we got to be prepared to recognize when they come and ask us questions, we can watch them from the page of the book. If they got a good spirit on them, you know you can help them. But if they got an evil spirit on them, you know what's troubling them. And you tell them they got to go repent first. You got to repent first. Because right now your demeanor is all over the place, and an evil spirit from Yahweh is troubling you. Because when a good spirit is on you, Mother, you have a Daniel 9:22 working with you. See, Mother Eve, you have a Daniel 9:22 working with you, Mother. What does it say?
The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 22. Daniel chapter 9, verse 22. The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 22 reads, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding.
You hear that, Mother? So, Mother, when a good spirit is working with you, when the good spirit leave you, what will you have, Mother, for the national artist? What would you have again, Mother?
Skills and understanding.
Hey, that's nice. That's nice, Mother. That's nice. Excellent. So that's all of it there, Mother. You helped up real good for the last 45 minutes. That's in grand style. And that's what it's all about. So now that is what you have to look for in time to come. Because you will be sitting around and a lot of younger women's going to come. And you got to recognize them from the page of the book, what kind of spirit they got by understanding. If they come all over the place, you tell them, first of all, an evil spirit from the Almighty is troubling you right now. You got to rebuke that spirit first. It to straighten you out a little bit. Then we can work with you. But as long as you're all over the place, your backbiter, your murmuring complainer, that means the evil spirit got the best of you right now. We got to take care of that spirit first to get you back on the right track. So keep that in your mind, Mother. We're going to bring our Mother D up Israel in and see if she ready to holler that microphone a little bit, because she done came on stage now for tape number 34, the fourth month, 10th day, 2024. Let's see if Mother D up Israel ready to holler that microphone a little bit. Hey, Mother D of Israel, Yahweh be that see right.
Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel of the Royal. Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah. Well, excellent. And my elder going to come in. He's going to hit the foundation and, Brother Edwards, he was in the room, and that special guest was in the room also, elder. But I guess since they didn't hear your voice fast enough, they jumped out of the room because they didn't hear your voice fast enough, elder. That would really happen. So special guest put about 15 minutes in, maybe less than that, and Brother Edwards, G. Edwards, he put about, and once they didn't hear the elder, they knew they had to go. So all I can say, elder, the fox can't have been letting, the curtain have went up, so take your time, elder. Do your part on tape number 34, you and the clock come out.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And as I say, it's always a great pleasure to be among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners and all the supporting members of our ministry, mothers, sisters, and the young lions, and all are present. To me, that is a good thing. One of the problems that we have is mentioned in 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse number 6. And it says, though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. This is a verse that we sometimes mention that needs to be put out there, because the problem that you have is that you have many people moaning and groaning, like the seer said. I don't like the way that sounds. Somebody else should be talking on that. Well, as long as it's right, and it's the word of Yahweh, that should be all that you desire. Anything else is wishes of Satan the devil. You have too many people out there today. I had a meeting that I had to go to. I was taking a test. Passed the test. Got a certification as a peace ambassador, which is pretty good. You get a chance to speak to other people in religious sections. You get a chance to speak to other people that think they know and don't know. That's where the teaching comes in. Because, you know, that pathway that we have to follow, it's a very narrow pathway to righteousness. That's mentioned also in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And 13 says, enter ye at the straight gate, the wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there go in thereat. 14, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find. Well, we can see that today. See, these people are walking around. They are walking in ways that are dangerous to themselves and also dangerous to you. They're all over the place in life, in the word, and you can't teach them because you really think about what's the difference. Is this a fool or is he unlearned? Well, a fool is wise in his own mind, according to Scripture, but the unlearned isn't lost. He's one that can be taught. And this is what a teacher's job is. A teacher can't learn from his students because he's given wise counsel. Let me say that before. And having knowledge, the teacher even gains more experience by teaching. However, a student, on the other hand, can learn from wise counsel and possibly learning to teach one day themselves. And this shows well in all the six camps that teach. Because we all came to hear things that most of us listening can understand, but you get some of those out there listening to the same thing we listen to. They never understand. But Yahweh's ministry makes all this misunderstanding very possible. Because you have to remember, by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, we're given the knowledge to know There are people out there like that that camouflage their evil or confused teachings and usually overly loud bump the gums contest to get you to follow their way of righteousness. Remember, the best is already here. We're just waiting for the rest to come to teach them that, what we know. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Young Fox Ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about the Young Fox Word. Learning how to connect the books, your health, foods you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do all this because you have not. And this is the information you came to seek and have now found that in the voices of the true life, Tribe of Yahdah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the normal days of Sundays, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And having no class on Tuesday, of course, unless we have a high day or a special event. However, Sabbath class we do have. And the top part of Sabbath is Friday. The time of that class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. There's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. An online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any one of your smart devices and at tribeyahdah.com. What's most important, after click enter, look for tribeyahdah.com-Israelites. Doing this will take you to a big line where you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. To use this, step one, click PayPal. Donate with PayPal. Step number two is to click send. And any of the amount that you wish to send, and there's a message if you'd like to include. And if that's done, may Yahweh bless you. Doing so, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, you kindred to the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahweh loves that you are forgiven. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you thus says Yahweh life. Also for building a school, which is very well needed. With all the bad teaching that's going around today, a banquet hall for the gathering of our members, a radio station, and land to grow the helpers, we continue to speak of on this program. Also while there, check out our calendar, which will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come throughout the year. Also, we have a live program which features available during our broadcast time. And to get there, this time on that search line, enter three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. And click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. Also, we have a few numbers you can call with Yahweh in mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number, where you can call and leave a message on those Bible scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 Monday camps of Yahweh's ministry. But also in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. If I said, I'll have to remind you, when you hear a discouraging click, followed by a dollar sign. Also, by calling that number, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. And another note we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or after. Jews are pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and I'm seeing many memos, and even now in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of our program, you can catch the entire show today after 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. And to do this, enter three words on the search line, Yakwa Radio Live. After you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Private Yadav. Just click the program you will late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. And also, during a normal World Talk broadcast, find out we're simultaneously transmitting on Peloton, which can be logged in by your phone, your tablet, or computer. Just make sure you've downloaded the Peloton app. We'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. When you get there, you'll find our room will hold 50 or more listening participants, where Yahuwah's work will be working for your Bible education. An online error to answer the on-the-table topics we discuss during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, along with Seer Israel, writing and shotguns. During this time, we'll be taking no comments on topic or any more, two text questions answered at a time. But continuing to give that same message before I go, remember when we're giving the scriptures to speak by the Seer, be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smooth, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah and not to have confusion. So as the speaking members, we have to be careful not to make worldly statements that can't be backed up by the Bible, but to remember to make those statements that can be backed up in the Bible. At this time, we'll turn our program back over to our Seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, yeah, Elder. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That was excellent, Elder. Elder, I want you to do the national order and the favor if you can. I want you to look up something called a cataclysm. It's C-A-T-E-C-H-I. S-H. But I'm looking for, out of the cataclysm, is C-H-T-E.
That's C-H?
Yeah, C-H. Now, C-A back in Apple. C-A-T-E-C-H-S-H. Now, and put in 882 on page 254. I want to take a look at something, Elder. I want to look at something. See, the Roman Catholic Church and those that is in the Roman Catholic religion, they basically don't go by the Bible, period. They go by the rules and regulation of the Cataclysm book. It's called the Cataclysm of the Catholic Church. That's the name of the book. This is the book they all the members have to understand the Roman Catholic Church religion through the book, not through the Bible. They learn what they know is through this cataclysm. 882 on page 254. I want to take a look at that a little bit later. C-A-T-E-C-H-I-S-H. 882. On page 254. I want to take a look at that a little bit later once you got it. But until that time comes, I'm going to bring Mother D up Israel in, and we're going to get something going on because, like I said, again, we got a lot of memos on the table. And I want to take a look at some of these memos. Now, Mother D up Israel. And the book called Second Ezra, out that red book, Mother D of Israel.
Yes.
I want to look at Second Ezra 3, verse 1 down to verse 3, and 31 and 36 there, Mother, D.F. Israel. Second Ezra, chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, then skip down to 31 through 36. That give it a chance to look at that cataclysm. This is a this is what they really informed their members that all have is this book right here. This is called the Official Tradition, the Doctrine of the Catholic Church, the Cataclysm of the Catholic Church. If you're a member of the Catholic Church, you have this book with you, and then you're able to turn to 882 on page 254, and we'll take a look at that later. But right now, Mother D.F. Israel, hey, Mother, what can we read in 2 Ezra 3, 1 down to verse 3, 31 and 36? Mother D.F. Israel, take your time and do your part. Come on.
As 2 Ezra, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, and verse 31 to 36. Verse 1. In the 30th year after the reign of the city, after the ruin of the city, I was in Babylon and laid trouble upon my bed, and my thoughts came up over my mind. Verse 2. For I saw the desolation of Judah and the wealth of them that dwell at Babylon. Verse 3. And my spirit was so moved so that I began to speak words full of fear to the Most High and said, verse 31. I do not remember how this way may be left. Are they then of Babylon better than they of Judah? Verse 32. Or is there any other people that knows you beside Israel? Or what generation have so believed thou covenant as Israel? 33. And yet their reward appeared not, and their labor has no fruit. For I had gone here and there through the nations, the heathen, and I see that they flow in wealth and think not upon your commandment. Verse 34. Weigh thou therefore our witness now in the balance, and there also that dwell in the world. And so shall your name nowhere be found but in Israel. 35. Or when was it when was it that thou which dwell upon the earth have not stand in your sight? Or what people have so kept thy commandment? 36. Thou shalt find that Israel by name has kept your precepts, but not the nation, the heathen.
So you see that? So now, the fear was, he was troubled behind that. He see the prosperity of everybody, all the nations, they prosperity. And just like right now, you know, we got a memo in. He said, well, why the Catholic Church? They got everything, got big cathedrals. They got everything going. I mean, you can go in there and you can get your nice nap. Big comfort seats, big air conditioning. They got big heaters. They just right back in. And everything happy in there. I said, yeah, that is true. I said, well, we'll touch on that. And So, Mother, give me a precept on that. Because, see, the Catholic Church, they got a book called the Cataclysm, C-A-T-E-C-H-I-S-E, of the Catholic Church. And if you're a member of the Catholic Church, you got that book. Because that's what they govern you out of that book. But they make some statements in that book, and I want to kind of check them out. Because he says in 34:17, Mother, hey, 34:16 of Isaiah by the seer, hey, Mother D.F. Israel, he says something to Isaiah the seer, something, in 34:16. What do he say, Mother D.F. Israel, in 34:16? To Isaiah the seer.
Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Teach you out of the book of Yahuwah and reach. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth has commanded, and his spirit is has gathered them.
Mm-hmm. So he told Isaiah to tell children of the book, seek out of the book of Yahuwah and read. None of this will fail you, and you don't need, and nothing match up to the Bible. So, but to be a Roman Catholic, you got a book called the Cataclysm, and that's the authority book of the Catholic Church. Well, it gives strict details on how they roll. So precept that, Mother, and 1 Timothy 4:13. Now, Elder, once you have found that Cataclysm, Elder, 882 on page, give me a hallelujah, and then we know we can hear something that's out of their book, although I'm looking at exactly what it is, but I don't want to say nothing. I want it to be read. About the Cataclysm of the Catholic Church. That's a big book that was put together about, that book was put together in about 1990. It had been circulating pretty good since 1990. And they really lay out what the Catholic Church and what is required of you by being a member of the Catholic Church. So, and 1 Timothy, Mother, now Timothy and Titus was taught by Paul. And Paul told him a profound statement, Mother, in 4:13. Hey, Mother, be of Israel. What did Paul tell Timothy and Titus in 4:13 there, Mother? 1 Timothy 4:13, what did he say?
4:13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exaltation, to doctrine.
Mm-hmm. And Mother, he said, now you do this until I come now. So we're going to be doing this until he comes. Give attention to reading, exaltation to doctrine. What that supposed to mean, Mother, and Proverbs 4, verse 2. Hey, Mother, D.F. Israel, what that mean when you precept your Bible that we got to continue reading the doctrine? What are you talking about? The wise man in the world will answer that, Mother. And Proverbs 4, verse 2. What did he say that, Mother, D.F. Israel?
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 2. For I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law.
So good doctrine, Mother, is when you keep in the law, statutes, and the commandments. But in the Catholic Church, they tell you what's good is you reading the Cataclysm. But the Bible tells you, don't forsake my law, statutes, and commandments. Now, where did they pull that from, Mother? Where did Solomon pull that from? And Deuteronomy 32, verse 1 down to verse 3. Now, Elder, once you're going to find that Cataclysm, Elder, of the Catholic Church, you know, get a national audience of Hallelujah Yahweh, and we're going to examine a few things in that cataclysm, because that's what's on the table about is the Catholic Church, is they teaching you right, or is it contrary to the Bible? Because they got their members all have this cataclysm book. It gives you the rules and regulations of the Catholic Church. So if you're a member of the Catholic Church, you have this book since 1990 called The Cataclysm of the Catholic Church. And in that book, they got all the rules and regulations on what they want you to know. And we want to examine something, Elder. We want to examine the Cataclysm 882 on page 254. We want to examine that through with the scripture after you got that note and the Cataclysm pull it up. Then we're going to examine something in that book that all the Roman Catholic Church members have it. That's the book they got, the Cataclysm book. C-A-T-E-C-H-I-S-M. Oh, the Catholic Church.
Okay.
So when you
I got the definition. I got the definition for that from the Catholic Church, but online it don't show you that deep into the pages. It only gives you a brief explanation of what cataclysm is, because it's spelled differently also. Cataclysm is, like you said, the last of it, C-H-I-S-M. It's also spelled with a Y. But the way you spelled it, the cataclysm of the Catholic Church, they say, is a comprehensive reference that succinctly summarizes the essential teachings of the Catholic Church regarding both faith and morals. It serves as a guide for Catholics to deepen their understanding of the Church's doctrine and principles. And it gives some key points about cataclysm to the Catholics. Step one, it says unity of God's ministry. When reading the cataclysm, one can perceive the wonderful unity of the mystery of God as emphasized by the Pope St. John Paul II. Two, organized presentation. Organized presentation. The cataclysm provides an organized presentations of the fundamental beliefs and moral teachings of the Catholic faith. It covers various aspects, including the Church's role, sacraments, commandments, and prayer. Three.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they say it's accessible online. So you can apparently through their definition, find the cataclysm online if you're interested.
Mm-hmm.
And it says through the United States Conference of the Catholic Bishops website, it's available in both English and Spanish. Four, official height of faith. Just as Mount Everest stands as the highest peak physically, the cataclysm stands as a spiritual peak guiding believers in their journey of faith.
That's right, yo. That's great. But it's something that those, look at WTC, say, well, we got the, once reading, all I want you to read nothing. We want to read from somebody out of the six and on the camp. Now, on the cataclysm on page 254 there, Elder, so we're not able to pull it off, so we're not going to, we'll just give you a little brief on it on page 280, on page 254, the cataclysm. Because if you're a Roman Catholic, Christianity, you have the cataclysm book, because that's how you learn about the official doctrine of it. But on page 254, it tells us something, we just to get a little brief on it. It says, the Pope the bishops of Rome and Peter, successor, is the Petro visible source of foundation and the unity both of the Pope and a whole company of the faithful. He's saying out, so Peter is the first Pope. So in 64 AD to 64 to 68, Peter became the first Pope of Rome. And everybody and all they tell you that they are the successor of Peter. So Peter is the first Pope in the Cataclysm book. And there's a whole lot of stuff in there, but I wanna be basically read before so we all hear it together. So on the Cataclysm on page 254, they tell you about exactly that, you know, some good stuff. And so what we do, we leave that like it is, but we read something else just to kind of whet your beak. And those, you know, that have this book, they look at exactly what I'm looking at. It says the Cataclysm on 100, on page 35. You listen what the Cataclysm book says. The task of interpreting the word of God have been entrusted solely to the Majesty, M-A-G-I-S-T-E-R-I-U-M, of the church. That is to the Pope and to the bishops and the cardinals. They don't want to interpret the Bible for you. They will, when you got a question, they will interpret for you. They have the higher learning of understanding. So I'm looking at this Cataclysm, and I got a lot to teach on, but we're not prepared to do it right now. But we will come back with it once we got our duck in a row for those on the network to be able to help those stay out. Then we'll teach on the Cataclysm book, because if you're a Roman Catholic, you definitely have the book, and so happen the seer had it too. And we're looking at something, but what really caught my eyes, or a lot of things caught my eyes in this book, caught my eyes, but everybody is a successor of Peter, because Peter was getting the keys. And that's why you see in the Vatican City, you see Peter with keys in his hand passing it on. And every Pope in Rome is a descendant of a bloodline Peter, the one that started the Catholic Church as the first Pope in 64 to 68. Peter was. So now we leave that like that, but we will come back once we get our ducks in a row and on the Cataclysm of the Catholic Church. That doctrine, that nice book they got that was put together in about 1990. They laid out the rules and regulations around about 1990 of this Cataclysm book. And everybody has that book that you are a member of the Catholic Church. You got that book. If you don't have it, then I guess you're going to go get it. If you don't have it,
you're
going
to get it.
Huh? What's the hell?
I don't know if it starts out with the divine persons are really distinct on 254. Is that what you have?
Say what now? Say it again, Elder.
Does it start on 254 with the divine persons are really distinct? Is that what you have on 254? If it is, I'll go ahead and read it.
Okay, well, you can read anyway because you never know what come out of it. You read anyway. But call out what you're reading, where you're reading from anyway. Where are you reading from anyway?
Well, it's from the Cataclysm of the Catholic Church book. The section I'm reading from is the Dogmata of the Holy Trinity. I'm going to read it exactly as I see it on 254. 254 says, the divine persons are really distinct from one another. God is one, but not solitarily. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are not simply names, designated moralities of the divine being, for they are really distinct from one another. He is not the Father, who is the Son, nor is the Son he who is the Father, nor is the Holy Spirit he who is the Father or the Son. They are distinct from one another in their relationships of origin. It is the Father who generates, the Son who is begotten, and the Holy Spirit who proceeds. The divine Trinity is tribune. That's something.
That would say in the Cataclysm on what page?
254. The title is okay, The Dogmata in their book.
Well, that's totally different from this book. So we leave that like it is there, Elder. Let's see what it says in St. John 3:11. We gonna leave that right there because of St. John 3:11. Let's see what it says in 3:11 of St. John the Elder.
Okay. I had to get away from that because that was total worded confusion.
Mm-hmm. What it says in St. John 3:11?
Okay, in the book of St. John, I'm flipping the books here right now. Getting to St. John. In the book of St. John, chapter 3, reading verse 11, says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness.
Mm-hmm. So we speak what we know. That's right. We speak what we know. So we're going to get our ducks in line up, and then we're going to come back with this Cataclysm book. Which the fear is better prepared to take care of now, but we'll wait till we prepared on both ends, and then we can take a look at their dialogue. Like the WCC said, Phil, we'll help you read it. Now, I don't want you to help me read the WCC, World Council of Churches. We don't want you to help do that. So now, Elder, since we know that in the Vatican City they got Peter is given the keys. He received the keys, and every pope from that is the successor of Peter. Now, that is true. But I want to find out one thing about Peter. I want to find out something, Elder. Then we're going to get back with the mothers. I want to find out something about Peter there. Can you help me out in the 12th chapter, Elder? Acts. And plus, I want to find out about going. Remember, it told us to go in the Bible and peep around. I want to find out something about Peter in Acts chapter 12. Yeah, Elder. I want to find out something about Peter in Acts chapter 12. So if he's the first pope of Rome and everybody's successor behind Peter. So I want to go in the Bible in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, and I want to see what can we read, and verse number 5. We go on to 5 and put a little more audio in the elder. I want to take care of 5 down to verse number 19. So I really want to kind of step it up on this elder. I want to lay this out. We'll get back with a little bit later. Now, in Acts chapter 12, pick it up around by verse number 5 down to verse 19. Can you hold that microphone here? I want to lay this out right here in Acts 12, 5 down to verse 19. What does it say?
Acts chapter 12, reading 5 to verse number 19. 5 says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto Yahweh for him. 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. 8. And behold, the minister spirit of Yahweh came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the head, on the side. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. 8. And the minister spirit said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. 9. And he went out and followed him, and was not that it was true which was done by the minister spirit, but thought he saw a vision. 10. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through the street, and forthwith the minister spirit departed from him. 11. And when Peter was come unto himself, he said, Now I know for surely that the Yahweh hath sent his minister spirit and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews of Yadah Judah. 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came unto the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were scattered together praying. 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhonda. 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. 15. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she continually affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his minister spirit. 16. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. 17. But he beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace, and declared unto them how the Yahweh had brought him out of prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren, that he had departed and went into another place. 18. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? 19. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea.
Now,
to Catherine and above.
That's good. That's good. So now this happened
and 42 A.D. Now, remember, Herod was set up by Rome. The Romans set up his father and set him up in Rome in 40. So he was, this Herod, they were set up by the Romans. So if Peter was escaped and Herod could not find him, the last place Peter was going was Rome, because Rome was set up. Rome, Judah, was the people that Rome put Herod over. So if King Herod would have any problem finding out that Peter was in Rome, he would tell him, send that guy back to me. I'm supposed to kill him. So Peter did not go to Rome from 42 period to be the first pope, because Herod was looking to kill him. He killed the gods that had the chain, and he probably killed Peter, and Peter, he couldn't find him. So Peter was not over in Rome being the first pope of Rome, not Peter. Yeah? So now, and then what did Peter call himself in 60 A.D., Elder, in 1 Peter 5, verse 1? Now, this is what Peter called himself in 5, verse 1. See, remember one thing. You remember that a long time ago there, when he found out, not back in the court of law today, if you found out that you lied on one point, then everything you said from that point on, it's no good. So if you in a ministry, well, Peter is the first pope, and everybody is a successor after Peter, that would not line up with the Bible, because Peter was on the run since 42 A.D., because Herod was looking to kill him. And so if Peter went to Rome, he was told those in Rome, they sent a guy back to me. So Peter did not go to Rome to be the first pope. That's once you understand this Bible, and that's why we come humble. So if you're in a ministry and Peter is the first pope of Rome, and everybody else is a successor after that, Peter been running from the Romans since 42 A.D., according to Acts 12, 5 through 19. They sought for Peter, and they couldn't find him. So what did Peter call himself, Elder, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1? Let's see, did he call himself a pope? What did he call himself out of his own mouth? What did he call himself out of his own mouth in 1 Peter 5, verse 1, Elder? What did Peter call himself?
Okay, in 1 Peter 5, 1, 1 says, the elder which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Yahweh the Son, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed.
Mm-hmm. So look what Peter just said. In 60 A.D., Peter said, I exalt you that are elders. I also am a elder. In 60 A.D. So Peter addressed elder in 60 A.D. He wasn't over there in Rome being the first pope, not with the Bible. And that's why they tell you, don't worry about the left side of the Bible, period. Matter of fact, just get in the cataclysm. You ain't got to worry about no Bible, period. You know why? Well, the Bible will tell you the story that everything they have done, if it's built upon Peter being the first pope, we're going to take care of that big time and see the scripture provide that information but the Catechism book of a church do, a Catholic church. Now, here again in 60 A.D., Elder, and 1 Peter 1, verse 1, what was Peter doing again in 60 A.D.? 1 Peter 1, verse 1. What was he doing, Elder? Let's see what he was doing in 60 A.D. Remember, he'd been running from the Romans since 42 A.D. So what was he doing in 60 A.D., Elder? 1, verse 1. What was Peter doing?
Okay. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, reading verse 1, says, Peter, an apostle of Yahweh the Son, to the strangers scattered, to the strangers scattered throughout houses. Caleb. Cappadonia, Asia, and Britannia.
So Peter, in 60 A.D., he writing letters in 60 A.D. to the scattered strangers. And what did he tell the scattered strangers in verse 2 and 3?
Verse number 2 and 3. 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of Yahweh the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yahweh the Son, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. 3. Blessed be Yahweh and the Father of our Yahweh the Son, which according to his abundance mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by resurrection of Yahweh the Son from the dead.
Mm-hmm. And what if you tell them elect a Mother E, have me the elect Mother E, over in Psalm 50, verse 5 through 7, and Psalm 148, verse 14, had it waiting on me, Mother E. And what does he say to the elect in verse 13 down to verse 17, Elder? But now, he writing letters. So in 6 A.D., he was writing letters to the elect. He wasn't nowhere near wrong. He writes letters to the elect in 60 A.D. And what did he say in his letters, verse 13 down to verse 17, Elder?
Okay, reading verse 13 to verse number 17. 13 says, Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Yahweh the Son. 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. 15. But as he which hath called you is righteous, so be ye righteous in all manner of conversation.
16 and 17.
Because it is written, be ye righteous, for I am righteous. 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect person's judgment, according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear.
Oh, so what Peter doing in 60 A.D., Elder, he writing to the elect, and he writing, so what he was doing in 60 A.D., he was not trying to be moderated as being no Pope or Rome. He'd be the biggest hypocrite ever lived, because they was trying to kill him since 42 A.D. There had been a wanted poster on Peter. So the last place he going to run is to Rome, because Rome wants to help Herod
the sins of Esau translated day after white man and white woman. So the last place Peter would have went to Rome to take the keys and be the first pope of Rome, because Herod would want to kill him. See? He was writing letters in 60 A.D. to the scattered Israelites. He was to elect, to the scattered elect. So we got to prove that he was writing to the elect Israelites. We got to prove that by Mother E. in Psalm 50, verse 5 out of verse 7, and then 148, verse 14. We got to prove that, because we only speak what we know. Because we know that in the court of law of society today, if you find out that you're guilty on one point and lying, then your testimony will be stricken from the record. So if you find out that Peter was not the first pope of Rome, he called himself an elder. Then what you going to do about that religion after you hear the facts? Peter was running from Herod, and the last place he was going to run to is Rome to be inaugurated to be the first pope in 64 through 68. He'd been writing letters to the scattered Israelites, dodging, weaving, but he had the power of Yahuwah over his head. But he kept up with the children of Israel by through the other elders. Remember, he found the elders, and they kept him nice and secure for him to continue doing his work. Because Peter was the chief speaker of the nation of Israel, and he's writing to the elect. Now, Mother E is going to tell you exactly who the elect is, and 50, verse 5 out of verse 7. Hey, what does it say there, Mother E?
The book of Psalms, chapter 50, verse 5 to 7. Verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Verse 6. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for Yahweh is the judge himself, the Lord. That shall hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am Yahweh, even your Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 148,
so, verse 14. Yeah, verse 14.
Psalm 148, verse 14. He also exalts the horns of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise him, the Yahweh.
So Peter was writing to the elect, Mother. So according to 2:7, Psalms 148, verse 14. Now go ahead and get drop an overkill on the Mother in 49, verse 1, down to verse 3. Go on, drop her. 149, 1, 2, and 3. So Peter was writing to the elect in 60 A.D., and he found the elders and told them, I also am an elder. So in 149, Mother, let's go for a little overkill on them, Mother. Pick up at verse 1. We'll read down until we get our point. 149, verse 1. Let's read down until we get our point, Mother.
149, verse 1. Praise ye, Yahweh. Sing unto thee, Yahweh, a new song. And his praise in the congregation of the saints. Verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Yahweh Judah be joyful in their king. Verse 3.
Good. Good, Mother. So, Mother, who are the saints according to 149, verse 1 and 2? Who are the elect saints according to 149, verse 1 and 2? Who is the elect saints according to 149, of Psalm, verse 1 and 2. Who is that mother?
Israel. Let Israel rejoice. That's the
saints. Let Israel rejoice as the saints. So the Latter-day Saints is not Israel. We say, Phil, we sure cut you off for saying that. Well, what can I say? So when you examine the Bible, that's why I tell you read this book, not the Cataclysm. As long as you're reading the Cataclysm, you're going to see Peter as the successor and the first pope from 64 to 68, for around about 60 A.D. to about 68 in that area. But we found out Peter was writing letters to the children of Israel. He told them, I'm an elder. And he'd been dodging the Romans since 42 A.D. He'd been, you know, when he went to one of the cities in Israel, there was a prop him up. So they knew Herod. And Herod found out where he was at. And he definitely knew he was in Rome. There's no way in the world you've been in Rome, sitting in that seat in Rome, because you couldn't have made that far. See, that's the seat, but we leave it like it is. But see, but in the court of law now, if you find out you lied on one point, they'll tell you bottom line. Ain't nothing you both say from that point on is relevant. But so happened, we found out that Peter been running from Rome since 42 A.D., according to the Bible. See? Now, let's get some more. Well, my fact, I got to take care of, I got this another memo came in, Mother D. up Israel. I got so many memos come in. Let me take care of this, Mother. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, Mother. And we're going to look at one verse at a time. Let's see if we take care of 1 John. Now, John is beloved of Yahweh. He's the one that they call beloved. So I'm going to look at this memo came in. Let's see, would you break down 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let's see if we take one verse at a time there, Mother D. up Israel. Hey, Mother, on the right side of the book, 1 John chapter 4, let's break down one verse at a time. Let's look at verse 1 first. I'm going to get back to Peter in a minute. Remember, I'm going to get back to Peter. I'm going to take care of that. And I'm waiting on somebody out of the sixth camp got that cataclysm, and we can really get on the airways and take care of business on this book called The Cataclysm of the Catholic Church. This is the book that if you're a Catholic member, you got that book. Because it's the rules and regulations on who folks interpret the book. And they tell you plainly in their book who folks do the interpretation. It's the Pope, the bishops, and the cardinals. Let us tell you what this means. Then when we tell you something what it means, take it and run with it. You see that? We'll take care a little bit later. 1 John 4, verse 1, Mother. One verse at a time, Mother D. up Israel. All I need one verse at a time, and let's expound on one verse at a time. 1 John, right side of the book, chapter 4, verse 1. What does it say, Mother?
1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of Yahweh, because many false teachers are going out into the world.
And many of them, many false teachers, many false shepherds, many of them went into this world, Mother. They said, look here, now John said, beloved, he said, don't believe every spirit now. You got to try that spirit. And now give me a precept on that, Mother. And Sirach 7, verse 7. I mean, 6, verse 7. How about a precept on Mother? See, you want to build a precept on the run. Don't set nothing up. The righteous spirit will precept on your Bible for you. See, when you precept your Bible, that small, still voice will tell you, well, put this with that. So what it says in 6 verse 7, Mother, Sirach.
Sirach chapter 6, verse 7. If thou wouldest get a friend, prove him first, and be not haste to credit him.
You see that, Mother? So you see that? So if you're going to get off into these religions, don't you want to make sure that you understand your salvation is on the line? Don't you want to prove and don't credit before you check it out? Now, if Peter is the first pope and everybody's successor of pope, well, wait a minute. Now let's run back, Mother, and let's examine it. We're going back to, we're going back and take a look at some more of that. Okay, look, that's good enough for verse 1. Okay, I'll take, let me finish it off here. Verse 2. So you got to try to spirit. You got to see, if somebody tell you something, then you got to go and try it. You just can't believe even the seer. Only way for believe the seer, according to A.L., the only way for believe the seer is according to Acts 15:15. A.L., what it says in Acts 15:15?
Okay. In the book of Acts, looking at chapter 15, reading verse number 15, it says, and to this agree the words of the seals, as it was written.
So you only believe the seal. What kind of way up? As it's written.
As
if
it is
the seal
written.
Can't show you nothing written, you don't go believe the seal. But the seal show you what's written in the Bible. That's up to you. He tell you what to believe. Now look at the Latter-day Saints that seal precept with that. Yeah. Elder, give me 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. Precept. Let me get a big dignitary of precept. See, tell you what to believe. Believe the seals as it is written. If the seals show you something, what the seal is of that kind, if he show you something written, believe that. Huh? Believe that and go with it. Because it tell you what to believe as it's written. Then you line up with your Yahweh. Chronicles 20, verse 20. What does it say, Elder?
The book of 2 Chronicles, reading chapter 20, verse number 20, says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went in forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Yahweh, your Yahweh, so shall ye be established. Believe his seers, so ye shall prosper.
You see that? Now you see he said to the king, told him, well, we don't know what to believe. He tell you what to believe. Believe in Yahweh, that will establish you. Believe in his seers, and you will prosper. Well, in the mind, you won't be all over the place. He tell you what to believe. Believe the scriptures as is written. If the seers show you what the Bible's saying, you look and read it, then give your precept to it, and you still all over the place, that means a evil spirit from Yahweh is troubling you then. We tell you what to believe. And we let you know if Peter is the first pope of Rome, then what was Peter doing? He'd been running from Rome since 42 A.D. The last place Peter would be over there in Rome receiving some keys, and everybody said they're a successor of Peter because Peter, for foul statement, was told to Peter, Mother, hey, Mother,
a profound statement was told to Peter, and this is what they got their whole doctrine built on, Marvin. D.F. Israel. We're going to the 13th chapter of Matthew, Mother, and raise the voice a little bit for the mass in order to hit us real good, especially the big digging terrorists out of New York committee board, Timothy Dolan committee board out of New York. I want them to hit us real good, Mother. Because I keep telling you, sooner or later, they're gonna act like a floodgate break about all that, especially the bloodline Israelites. That's why we got to have this word packed in the sixth anointing camp to go in the Bible and with the right spirit and show that it don't add up by Peter being the first pope of Rome since Herod been trying to kill him since 42 A.D. But this is the part they pulled from Peter, a question, Mother, in Matthew chapter 16. Verse 16 down to verse 19. Hey, Mother, be up Israel. Can you bring out a little more spirit in your reading there, Mother? And let's take care of this business in Matthew 16 down to verse 19. Come on.
Matthew chapter 16 through 19, verse 16. And Yahweh's son said, are you also yet without understanding? 17. Do not you yet understand?
Well, hold on, Mother. Hold on, Mother. I'm all over the place. Make that 13. Make that Matthew 13, 16. I'm all over the place, Mother. That just didn't come out right. And thank you, Mother E, for catching that from me, Mother E. Make that 13, 16, and 19. I better make a note of that. Make that 13, Mother.
Okay.
Thank you, Mother, for catching that. From Matthew 13, 16, and 19.
Matthew chapter 13, verses 16 through 19. Verse 19.
Let's get on one page so we can deliver the knockout blow. I want Matthew chapter 13 and pick it right back up at verse number. Wait a minute, Mother. Let me repeat now. I was right the first time. Make it 16, Mother. That was 16. Matthew chapter 16, Mother. Pick it up at verse number 16. Because I'm going to get a name, Mother. I want to get a name, but I need more audio because there's a point I want to bring out, Mother. And Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 16 and bring it on home, Mother. 16, verse 16. What does it say in 16, 16?
Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through 19, verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Yahweh, the son of the living Yahweh. 17.
The father. Uh-huh. 17.
And Yahweh, the son, answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 18. And I say also unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my congregation, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19.
and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Now that's big talk with that mother. Now that's big talk. Now that's big talk. In verse 19, Yahweh the Son says, I will give unto thee, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou, you Peter, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shall loose shall be loosed in heaven. So, Mother, tell me one thing. What disciple gonna have the power to bind you on earth and Yahweh will loose you in heaven? What disciple, what follower of Yahweh the Son gonna have that absolute power by name? What's his name?
Peter.
Peter will have the absolute power to whatever he decides to bind on earth, it's going to be bind on earth. And whatever Peter loose on earth, the Almighty Son says, I will loose in heaven. So who got that power, Mother, according to verse number 19? Who did he give that power to?
Peter.
Peter got this power. So Peter will be the one with that power. So Peter will be the man of the hour while Yahweh was there and after he went to heaven. So the man that will be the one with all the power of Yahweh would be Peter. But it was 12 of them. But Peter had more power than 11. Is that so?
Yes.
Is that right?
Hallelujah.
So Peter is the one that was given. And what are these keys that he was given, Mother? And Luke, I'm struggling right now. I won't know what these keys is, Mother. So in about 11:52 of Luke, what are these keys he got? What does he mean by he got the keys? I need to know what that means, because on the religious walls in the Vatican City, they got Peter holding keys in his hands. I'm gonna go see in the Bible what these keys is that we all read together. Let's see the keys you have when you go in the Bible. And we're going to look for the keys he have. And we're going to see if we find the keys that he have that we can read. Because we know that the Roman Catholic Church got Peter holding some keys. So I'm struggling right now, but I want to know what is these keys he going to be having. Because we see the picture that the keys he have is a set of keys. So now, but I want to go in the Bible and see what these keys is that we can read. See, remember, the greatest weapon is to understand his word. So I know that if I keep talking long enough, I'm looking for like 11:52 somewhere. So I'm looking for 11:52. So maybe I go to Luke, because I'm trying to find these keys that he has, because the picture got him with keys in his hand, and I want to find out about these keys that I can read. So, and Luke chapter 11, but you got, can you help me out, Mother? Hey, Mother, you try to help them see out a little bit? And 11:52, I'm struggling right now, Mother, I'm still struggling. But in Luke chapter 11, verse 52, Mother D.F. Israel, the national audience out. Remember, we come to edify the national audience. We want to know what these keys Peter have, because we see the picture on the Vatican City. Peter got a set of keys in his hand. I want to find out through the Bible support a set of keys in his hand. What is it that we can read, Mother, in 11:52? Or the book of Luke. Where are these keys that we can read?
Luke chapter 11, verse 52.
Yeah, 5:2. Yeah, 5:2. Give me a little audio there, Mother. I want to know, do we look at Peter, the descendants of Esau, on that wall with a set of keys in his hand, and everybody followed him that looked like him on that wall with a key, set of keys in his hand? What is these keys, Mother, when we read the Bible in 11:52? What is these keys, Mother? Come on.
Luke chapter 11, verse 52. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge.
Wait a minute, Mother. Hold on, Mother. These keys that Peter have is what, Mother?
Knowledge.
That's what Peter have. Peter have the knowledge. And knowledge, you cannot see it. You can't draw knowledge. You got to come out your mouth. So the keys Yahweh the Son gave Peter, what, Mother?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Not a set of turn keys. So when you look over in Rome, you see Peter got some keys in his hand. No, I'm putting no keys in his hand. What Peter have is knowledge. Yahweh gave him knowledge. Now let's go to End Time Prophecy, Mother. 1:17 down to verse 19, a precept on it. Now we're going to Revelation 1:17 down to verse 19. So understand one thing. What Peter received was knowledge. That's why he was writing to the children of Israel about what he received from Yahweh was knowledge. That's what he was writing. He was writing knowledge. Now Yahweh the Son came up on Beloved, Mother, and 1:17-19, and he looked at eyeball to eyeball and said, what, Mother? Revelation chapter 1:17 down to verse 19. What did he say, Mother?
Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And have the keys of hell and of death. Verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter.
Read verse 18 again. A little more audio, Mother. Verse 18 again. Verse 18.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am he that lives and was dead.
and behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And have the keys of hell and of death.
Oh! So what did he give Peter? He gave Peter the keys to how to get you in the kingdom or get you some death. Peter had that with him. Peter had the keys. The keys was life or death. You listen to Peter, you can receive life. If you follow Peter, and you receive life. But if you don't follow Peter, you got death coming. The keys was for you to get to the kingdom or get to the fire, because Peter had that in his possession. Is that what we're reading here?
Hallelujah.
So these keys, mothers, is what? The keys of knowledge to get you in the kingdom or get you some death. If you don't follow Peter, so if you didn't follow Peter, and Yahweh gave all this power to Peter, Peter did what? And 2 verse 14, mother, that. What did Peter do in 2:14? What did Peter do in 2:14, mother, of Acts? What did he do, mother? Acts 2:14. What did Peter do, mother, in Acts 2:14?
Okay. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lift up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judah, and all you that dwell at Judah, be this known unto you, and hearken, listen to my words.
And after who words, mother? Who did Peter say listen to? Who words?
His words.
A little bit louder, mother.
His words.
Did he have the right to say that, mother? Did he have the right to say? Why did he say listen to his words? Why did he say that, mother?
Because he had a key of knowledge.
Because he got the keys of knowledge. So Peter had the keys of knowledge. So Peter stood up with the 11. So the 11 had to follow who, mother? Who did the 11 have to follow, mother?
Peter.
So if the 11 going to get anything, they're going to get it from Peter. See, that's one of the greatest mystery in teaching. If they was going to get anything, they must get it from Peter. Is that what we're reading, mother?
That's what we're reading. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, mother Eden. So we go to Matthew chapter 18, mother Eden. We go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 down to verse 20. So, Hey, Mother Eve, we're going to the book called Matthew, chapter 18, down to verse 20, and get a second witness. So, understand one thing. Yahweh seen 12 men, but he pulled Peter aside and gave Peter the charge. And now we want to precept on that, Mother, because Peter's job was to teach the 11. The right way of Yahweh. So they couldn't get around Peter, mother. Let's get a precept on that in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 down to verse 20. Hey, Mother Eve, what does it say in Matthew 18 down to verse 20?
The book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 to 20. Verse 18, truly I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they that you shall ask it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 20. So where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
So, Mother, now let's read verse 18, but what's the order of things according to 18 verse 18, Mother? 18 verse 18, what's the order of things, Mother? 18 verse 18.
I said, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven.
Uh-huh. So who had that power, Mother, to whatever he loose, whatever he bound on earth will be bound on earth. Whatever he loose, that he'll be loosed in heaven. Who had that power, Mother, according to 18, verse 18? Who had this power that Yahweh left it with who?
Well, Peter has the key.
Peter. Excellent, Mother. Excellent. Peter had the keys to take care of his business. He left all that knowledge with Peter, and those that listened to Peter, they received that knowledge. They received that knowledge when they listened to Peter. So they couldn't get around Peter. If they want the knowledge, Yahweh left it to Peter to instruct the 11. Now, Elder Mr. Tibbs, with that understanding, let's go to St. John, chapter 20, verse 21-23. See, Yahweh put all that knowledge to Peter. And Peter's job was to instruct the 11 and get him a charge through him. So they have to see him to get that charge, because that's who Yahweh left it with, Peter. So when Peter stood up, the 11 stood up with Peter. So Peter was the man of the hour for the nation of Israel. So, Elder Mr. Tibbs, when we read St. John chapter 20, verse 21-23, and I left the national on the river here, what you get ready to read there. St. John chapter 20, verse 21 down to verse 23, then we're going to analyze this verse with the knowledge we already know. We're going to analyze this, because one thing about Yahweh, he always come back and remind you of something. He just don't tell you one time. He'll come back and remind you of it. So it's always good for repetition. So Yahweh has to do some repetition before we get ready to go to heaven. He's going to remind them of something. In the 20th chapter of St. John, verse 21 down to verse 23, Elder. So he'll kind of bring your A-game for the national order to understand Yahweh always do things twice. He'll remind you about his program. Verse 21, what it say, Elder?
St. John, chapter 20, reading 21-23. Verse 21 says, St. John, chapter 20, verse number 21 says, then said Yahweh the Son to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the righteous spirit. 23. Whosoever sins ye remit. They are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
Now what are you gonna say there? Now what are you saying? What are you gonna say here? Now he reminded them in verse 23. He breathed on them. And what do you mean by he breathed on them? What's that supposed to mean, Mother D of Israel? What's that supposed to mean by he breathed on them? Mother D of Israel. What do you mean by he breathed on them? Let's precept there. Come back and keep telling your elder. Mother D of Israel, we're going to go find what do you mean by he breathed on them. What's that supposed to mean? Let's go to Ezekiel, Mother 37. Let's find what he mean by he breathed on them. What do you mean by that? What that means? We're going to 37th chapter, Mother. And we're going to find out in Ezekiel what that supposed to mean by he breathed on them. Huh? We want to know what that means, Mother D up Israel. What that means? Yahweh the Son breathed on them. We're going to find out, Mother. Let's read verse 4, just get warmed up. 4 and verse 5. Ezekiel 37, verse 4 and 5. Let's talk about a little more audio, Mother. Hey, Mother, what are you saying in Ezekiel 37, verse number 5 and 6? We want to find out what it means by he breathed on them, Mother. That's what we're trying to find out. What that supposed to mean about Yahweh breathed on them? What that supposed to mean? Speaking of verse 5, Mother, let's talk about it. 5 and 6.
Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 5 and 6, verse 5. Thus says Yahweh unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Verse 6. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am Yahweh.
Okay. Verse 7. What are you going to do, Mother? Let's talk about it in verse 7.
In verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone.
Verse 8.
And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them.
Verse 9.
Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, sons of man, and say to the wind, thus says Yahweh, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.
How, Mother, in verse 10? How?
Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army.
Verse 4, Mother.
Verse 4, Ezekiel 37:4. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh.
Uh-huh. So tell them, what is Yahweh doing in St. John chapter 20, verse 22? So what is Yahweh doing when he breathed on them, according to 20, verse 22? What Yahweh is doing? What is he doing with the precept, Elder, Mr. Tibbs? What is Yahweh doing in St. John 20, verse 22? What do you mean? He breathed on them that breath. What is he doing, Elder? Is he doing like Benny Hinn do? Just blow you and you fall down?
No.
Huh? What is Yahweh doing with this breathing on these 12 led by Peter? What is he doing, Elder?
Breathe life on them.
He's giving them the word of his Father. He's giving them the keys of hell and death. He's giving them the knowledge. That's what he's giving them. When he's breathing on them, that means he's talking, not the show that Benny Hinn and them be doing. Breathing on them, they fall back and fall all out. That's a show from Satan the devil. When you're breathing on a person, you're giving them the knowledge of life and death. That's what he's saying. And I'm reminding you in verse 23, whatsoever sin ye remit. He said, if anybody sin and you find out about it, y'all have the power to go over there and correct that sin. The power is left in Peter's hand, and Peter instructed the 11. So they will listen at Yahweh getting Peter right. So when you read St. John 20, verse 23, whosoever sin, that means break my laws, statutes, and commandments. You 12 remit. You can tell them that your sins is forgiven. You got the power to do so. They are remitted unto them. If you say they sin is forgiven, you 12 ahead by Peter, then it is forgiven. This is read by Yahweh the Son. So he left that power in the hand of man. Right here. And whomsoever sin you retain, and you say, no, your sin is unrebukable. Then guess what? They are retained. That means Peter had the opportunity to say, no, your sin ain't gonna work. You got to go repent. Well, I'm going to go around you and I'm going to call on. No, you can't call on him. You have to call Peter. Peter was left with that power. No, you got to get it right with Peter. There's the devil. And he reminded him before he went to heaven, you got to get it right with the leadership that he put in place. You got to get it right with them. You can't get around that. Here's right here, 21 and 23. You can't get around what Yahweh passed on. Verse 23. Whomsoever sin ye remit. You got the option, Peter and the 11, to take care of that business. They are remitted unto them. If you forgive them, they are forgiven. And whomsoever sin you retain, you say, no, you got to go do something for your sin to be retained. They are retained. So Yahweh will watch Peter and the 11 execute the judgment that was in the flesh, and he was back in heaven. See that? So now, when we go to
Acts chapter 5, Elder, Mr. Tibbs. When we go to Acts chapter 5, with that understanding, when we go to Acts chapter 5, Elder, verse 12, and Mother D of Israel, have me 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, waiting on me. I want to get 2 and 3 in before the night's broadcast over. I ain't forget about it. I had to go around the back door for a minute. Now, Elder Till, what it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 12 down to verse 15. Now, he reminded them their power through Peter. So now, with that understanding, Yahweh and the book of Acts, he's back in heaven now. So now we know who got the power of Yahweh, and he the one gave it to him. Now let's see what's going on that we can read. In Acts chapter 5, Elder Mr. Tibbs, pick it up verse 12.
Acts chapter 5, reading verses 12 to verse number 15. Verse number 12 says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch.
Hold on. I get it to get away. So you see? So now the 11 have that same power that was given to Peter to go and take care of the business. So they knew Peter had to anoint them, and now they got the same power up under the same rules of Peter to take care of his business. So Peter didn't have to be in every place at the same time. The 11 can be anywhere up under that information that Peter had. So Peter was given to this, but Peter had to pass it on to the 11. So the 11 had, read verse 12 again, one more time, Acts 5, 12, read verse 12 again.
Verse number 12 says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch.
You see that? Everybody's on one accord. Because they knew that Peter had got the 11 right, and it was all on one accord, led by Peter. So the 11 had the anointing on them to go out there and heal the believers at the temple. That was Solomon pushing me at the temple. Verse 13. Listen good, Elder. Verse 13.
13 says, and of the rest, thus no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them.
So the people magnified them. The people magnified them because they knew if they were going to get some healing with some understanding, they had to find Peter led by the 11, make 12. Peter wasn't. So Peter didn't have to be there because the 11 had that power too. And what happened in verse 14?
14 says, and believers were the more added to the Yahweh, multitudes, both of men and women.
You see that? Didn't believe it. See, once you understand, you're sitting on the camp, you've got to get this word right. I don't have to be in all six camps at the same time. If you get the word right and get the proper anointing, you'll be able to do the same thing. You'll be able to get their minds together, but you got to be up under the one leader, the overseer. There's right down. Peter's job was to get them prepared. So now they can take care of the same business, but they understood the order of the protocol. The seer leads the way. Those that is with the seer will have that same blessing to help others. Because Peter had an extraordinary blessing on him that you will know it was different from the rest of them. Watch Peter, what Yahweh installed on Peter in verse 15. The more audio, Hilda.
Verse number 15 says, "And so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them."
Ain't that something? So Peter has so much power in him, all they have to do but be a believer and get into Peter's shadow, and they was healed. So you see, Peter had the power of Yahweh. He had more power than he left with Peter. The woman had to touch his garment. You didn't have to touch Peter's garment. All you have to do was get in the shadow of Peter, and you was healed. So what kind of anointing did Peter have? So you won't hear nothing Peter got to say? Peter is the one anointed 11. Peter was the man of the hour. So Peter, now, what this man doing over in Rome for being the poker of a nation for? See, that don't even make no sense. How can Peter be over there in Rome somewhere being the first pope with all this business he's taking care of him? He was in the temple of Yahweh. Now, when they walked past Peter's shadow at the temple, if they was believers, what happened in verse 16? What happened, Elder?
In verse 15? Reading 16. That verse again? 16 says, "There came also a multitude out of the cities round about to Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one."
Wait a minute. And all this was going on where, Elder? Where was all this going on? All this healing was going on where? Let's see, was it going on in Rome in verse 12? Where was all this healing going on? Walking past Peter's shadow, the 11 had the power to take care of business. What was all this going on there in verse 12?
Verse number 12 says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch."
You mean they wasn't in Rome? No. They were in the temple of Yahweh in Judah. The temple was in Judah, not in Rome. Peter wasn't over there in no Rome. Peter was right here. The people came to get healed at Solomon's porch. That is the same porch. What you mean, Latter-day Saints? Can I precept that? Yeah. We can come on, yo, let's precept that. See, you know, you run the wrong or Utah to get knowledge. You better find the 690 campus box of the Christian life. Let's find out where Solomon's porch is at. Okay, oh, you can precept your Bible. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 there, Elder. 3, make it 3. We just precept the Bible. That's all we got to do. Let's precept the Bible and pick up verse 1. A little more audio, Elder. I don't got happening now. Acts 3:1.
Okay, Acts 3:1, Elder. Okay, in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, beginning the ninth hour."
Go ahead.
2. "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, who laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple."
Yeah.
3. "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." 4. "And Peter, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.'"
5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. 6. And Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but such I have I give in the name of Yahweh's son of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles, bones received strength.
Mm-hmm.
8.
So that's good. That's good, Elder. So where was all this going on at, Elder? What was all this healing going on at?
At the temple.
Solomon Temple. At the temple. All this healing was going on at the temple. All this healing. Now, but Peter said, remember, Peter is the man of the hour. So Peter done the healing in what name, Elder? What name did Peter did the healing in? What name?
He healed him in the name of Yahweh the Son.
Okay. He healed him in the name of Yahweh the Son of Nazareth. Now, whatever Peter said at the end of it, is that right? According to Yahweh, he said, whatever you loose, Peter, is loose. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So whatever Peter said should not be the end of authority, Elder, what Peter say?
Hallelujah.
What did Peter say in Acts 4:12 then, Elder? What did Peter say in Acts 4, verse 12?
Okay, 4:12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other than under the name, under heaven, among men, whereby we must be saved.
Read again, Elder. Read again on some power now for you to be understand something. Now, Peter is the man of the hour. He's been instructed by Yahweh the Son. Whatever Peter said, that's the end of it. What did Peter say in Acts 4:12, Elder, again? What did Peter say?
12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
So Peter said, but one name is to be saved. So when they say, well, now we can call them by any name, wait a minute. According to Peter, how many names did you say, Elder? According to Peter, who Yahweh left the keys to hell and death to, he has the keys of knowledge too. So when Peter said, it ain't but one name to get you saved, is we going to ride with that or what? How many names to get you saved, Elder? According to 4, verse 12, through the mouth of Peter. How many names?
One.
Acts 4:12, how many names? Who want to help the Elder out? One. How many names? Acts 4:12. How many names?
None other than
one name.
One name.
So they can holler all they want about you. Yeah. What about Lord God, Jesus, Jehovah? Them names ain't gonna get you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire. According to Peter, he said it ain't but one name. Call on the one name that got the impotent man on his feet to jump up and high as he want to jump. But Peter said, ain't but one name. Now, precept of the elder, 116:13 of the book of Psalms, and he pulled that from the angel in 116:13. So when they tell you about, well, I'm so disturbed about this name, listen. Peter said ain't the one that get you salvation. Peter, the one got the keys of knowledge in hell and death. So all them big camps are using the name Lord God and Jesus Jehovah, their name is not what Peter said. Peter said one name. Did we read that? Hey, mother, try to get a hallelujah, Yahweh. Did
Did we read Peter saying in Acts 4:12, one name?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So is that the end of it? Hey, mothers, is that the end of it? Hallelujah. Is that the end of it?
Hallelujah.
That's the end of it. If Peter say one name, then we're supposed to say that's the end of it then. That's the end of it. I don't care what camp it is. If they're not using the one name, Peter said one name. Is that, y'all get another hallelujah on that?
Hallelujah.
Now, what is the one name in 1:16-13, Elder? What is the one name that gets you saved and salvation? What is the one name?
Psalms chapter 15. 1:16, verse 13. It says, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Yahuwah.
Hey, how many letters is that, Elder? How many names for salvation? How many letters?
Four letters, one name.
Four letters is what? What's the four letters
here? Y-H-W-H.
Ain't that something? You see that? So you see, listen, the Catholic Church is not calling on the one name. How you got Peter over there? You got Peter, the biggest hypocrite ever lived. Peter can't be no wrong, because they call on Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah, and Mary and Mary's mother for salvation. They call on Mary and Mary's mother for salvation. They call on Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah for salvation. Peter said, the one that got the keys are hell and death. Now read Acts 4:12 one more time, what Peter said, Elder. What did he say again in Acts 4:12? So if you're in a ministry and you pay Peter no mind, and the ministry that don't use what Peter said, then you just up on a death sentence, according to Peter in Acts 4:12. What did Peter say, Elder?
12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
So, Peter says it ain't but one name. So how can Peter be the first pope of Rome, and everybody over there in Rome, every pope used Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah, and Mary and Mary's mother Anne? Huh? That don't work. When you shine the spotlight on it. How could Peter be the first pope and Peter used the name YHWH? And we got records showing the Catholic Church knew about the name and they removed that name and told anybody in the Catholic Church, if you use the name YHWH, you out of here. So how you got Peter connected with y'all? That don't work with no Bible open. That's why you sitting on the camp. You got to learn the Bible. One name, according to Peter, gets you salvation. Now, Mother E, in a closing statement there, Mother E, what it says in 42 verse 8 of Isaiah. Isaiah 42 verse 8. What it say that, Mother E?
Isaiah 42.
Verse 8.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 8. Okay. Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 8, read. I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my honor will I not give to another, neither my praise to a graven image.
And all they got in the Catholic Church is graven image, and all they got is every name but the one name, Yahweh, four letters. So Yahweh just said, I ain't giving my glory to no other name but the four letters. YHWH, that's it. So if you're in a ministry and they call, and he called by another name, you just up on a ticking time bomb. Ain't but one name gonna get you salvation. The seal just said that. Peter with the keys of hell and death just said that. But you ain't gonna believe none of that. You take another ministry, take them, if they ain't called on the name, I don't care if it's another Israelite tell. If they follow what Peter said, Peter said one name. The four letters. YHWH. So what other ministry that teaches the four letters? Yahweh's voices of a true life. That's the only ministry teach the four letters. Yahweh. YHWH. Peter said one name. The Spirit just told you one name. But you ain't going to believe that. Huh? That's on you. Hey, Mother Eve. What's the close? What's the close statement to tomorrow at 6 o'clock, Mother Eve? Come on.
Thank you, praise Yahweh for the class. Thank you, praise Yahweh for the teacher and for each and everyone that's listening. And I just want to read a couple of verses for Isaiah 43. It says, "But now this, thus said the Yahweh, that created thee, O Jacob." And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Verse 2, when thou passest through the fire, the water, I will be with thee. And through this river, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kill upon thee. Hallelujah.
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 You see that? You see that? So you see what you see that? He said, I'm the one. Hey, Mother E. I mean, Mother D up Israel. Since Mother dropped that 43rd and put a precept with it, Mother. Verse 15. 43, verse 15 out, Mother. D up Israel. What is it? 43, Isaiah 43, 15. What is it, Mother?
Isaiah 43, verse 15. I am Yahweh, your righteous one, the creator of Israel, your king.
You see that, Mother? How many letters you say he is, Mother?
4 letters.
4 letters. YHWH. 4 letters. At the end of it. There you say, I am the four-letter man. Your righteous one that created, O Israel. And who am I? Your king. I'm the one. Your king. It's a four-letter man. Verse 16, the close statement of Mother. Hey, Mother, Mother, BFF, give me verse number 16, the closing statement. Verse 16, the close statement, Mother.
Okay. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 16. Thus says Yahweh, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters.
You see that? You see that? And give me verse 21 and close, baby mother. What are you saying, verse 21?
verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise.
So you see, we both be doing, Mother. We both show forth his praise. That's what we're crazy to do. The one name. One name. What name? The four letters. That's his praise. Four letters. Whatever camp using the four letters. What's their name? Where they at? They use every name they can get their hand on. Yahuwah and everything else. Lord, God, Jesus, Jehovah. They're doing everything. But Peter said, and Yahweh left the keys to Peter, and Peter said one name for salvation, then that's the end of it. Yep. Mother dear of Israel, close the statement and come on.
First Peter chapter 2, I want to read verses 1 and verse 9. Verse 1, wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy, and envy and all evil speaking. Verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and righteous nation, a special people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, what the big dignitary say, sir, since you said all that, Mr. Tibbs is through talking for tonight. He ain't got no clothes. He nuked out of the broadcast. Ain't that something? So you see, when you take care of business, this is what you're going to run into. Hey, mother, now give me that 1 John, Mother D.F. Israel. Give me that 1 John, verse 2 and 3. 1 John, right side of the book, verse 2 and 3. See, when you slam them with the word of Yahweh, you can expect anything to happen. That's why they keep telling you, believe the Bible. He left that authority to Peter. And Peter gave a blessing to the 11. And it's so on to the day. That is how you understand Yahweh's word. Stop trying to get around leadership and get to Yahweh. That is right there. To understand his word, that is right there. What did Yahweh say? What did he say in 1 John 4, 2, and 3? What did he say to that mother? 1 John, right side of the book, verse 2 and 3.
1 John, chapter 4, verses. What did I say?
Chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 and 3.
Yeah. 1 John, chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Verse 2. Hereby know you, the spirit of Yahweh. Every spirit that confess that Yahweh the Son is come in the flesh is of Yahweh.
And hold on. And what flesh did he come in, Mother? What flesh? He said, now every spirit that confessed that he came in the flesh, what flesh? Hold that marker, Mother. Give me 1 John. I mean, give me St. John. What flesh? 147. What flesh did he come in, Mother? What flesh did Yahweh's Son come in? 147 St. John. Come on, Mother. Help the old seer out.
St. John, chapter 1, verse 47. Yahweh the Son saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile.
So Yahweh the Son, when he came in, plus, Mother, what plus did he come in, Mother? An Israelite flesh, mother. He came in an Israelite flesh. He came in the flesh as an Israelite. Is that what we read, mother? Hallelujah. We know yes. Hallelujah. Is that what we read?
Hey,
mother, is that what we read? Did he come as an Israelite flesh?
I didn't.
Hallelujah. Okay, verse 3. Come on back to verse 3, mother. Come on back to 1 John 3:4. When Yahweh the Son came in the flesh, he came as the eyewitness, as an Israelite. Translated day as an African-American Negro in a color and a black. That's what he came at today. The Israelites is African-American in their eyes, the world's eyes, Negro, color, and black. So he came as an Israelite. What you call today, African-American, Negro, color, and black. Verse 3, mother, 4:3 says what?
1 John chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Yahweh the Son is come in the flesh is not of Yahweh the Father. And this is that spirit, an anti-Yahweh.
Yeah.
Whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world.
So if you say Yahweh the Son did not come in the Israelite flesh, you are what, mother? Anti-Yahweh. You are anti-Yahweh. If you say Yahweh the Son did not, that he came in the flesh, and he didn't come as an Israelite, you are an anti. That's who you is. And the last thing they ever going to say in the Catholic Church, Yahweh the Son came as an Israelite. They say he come as the sins of Esau, the white man and the white woman. So that makes them an anti-Yahweh. If you don't say Yahweh the Son came in the flesh as an Israelite, the one you call African American, Negro, in color. Putin over there and over there, he told everybody over there in Russia, from now on, you got to worship the black man now. Everybody can worship this black. Everybody can fall his knees down to this black man. We don't found the old artifacts in the tomb, in the vault, and everybody's going to get down to some Yahweh the Son. That was Putin just said in Russia. They ain't talking about it in America. Because it goes right against the Catholic Church. The black man, Putin said, the black man y'all going to get out to. Get them pictures out and put that black man everywhere. That Yahweh the Son man. And let him fall down at that Yahweh the Son man. That means if you fall down to that black man, Yahweh the Son, you got to fall down to his people, which is black folks too. Called African American Negroes in color. See that? That's why you're fixing on the cap. You got to learn this word. Y'all got to take this word on. Mm-hmm. Yahweh can put the anointing on you, oil, and take this word on. That's why we come humble 6 nights a week. Y'all got to know the truth. If anybody said Yahweh the Son did not come as an Israelite, which is called the black man and the black woman look like, they are anti-Yahweh. And everybody over there in Rome, and the WCC and the Latter-day Saints is anti-Yahweh. There it is right there. You got to confess he came in the flesh as a Israelite. And that's the one you call black, African-American, and Negro. You ain't got no pictures over in Rome with no black man. And the model, if the mothers get on time, we're going to get at Peter some more and see what Peter says about himself tomorrow. So we're going to stop it right there. Remember, the feast days on the 3-4 days from now, 13 at Eden, called Passover, from all the mothers on the internet. The elders, the sisters, the brothers, and all on the international side. We not anti-anybody. We pro 12 tribes of Israel. We not affiliated with any group. The groups that we affiliate with, the 69 camp that use the one name,
YHWH according to Peter, because that's the only name that's going to get you salvation. So whoever is not using the one name, then that means you're coming short according to Peter 4, verse 12. Peter said one name. Yahweh said, Peter, whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Whatever you remit and say they ain't right, then they ain't right. Yahweh gave that power to Peter. And Peter told everybody listening to him one name. So if you're in a ministry, you're not using the one name, you're not lined up with salvation according to Peter in Acts 4:12 that was given his power by Yahweh the Son. Stop it right there. For the mothers, the elders, the sisters, the brothers. One name, four letters, YHWH according to Peter, that got the keys to hell and death. He said that. I'm only parakeeting what Peter says in Acts 4:12. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Shalom.
We might not have a couch yet, but we got internet.
Go to home.
So, get your new home.
And welcome in. If you're finding this over on the shorts section of the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, welcome. Hopefully you guys are, you know, joining me live right now. If you're not, you're watching this after the fact. Welcome. We've got a lot to talk about on this shorter little episode of the live updates that we're doing here. We're going to talk a little bit about Anthony Davis, his injury or illness and what's going on there. We're going to talk a little bit about LeBron, the situation he's at right now. Plus, we're going to talk about what comes next for the Lakers in terms of the standing. So, again, this will be a little bit shorter, but just wanted to go through some things. So, welcome in. Those of you who are jumping in live, I already see you guys coming up in the comments here. But first and foremost, let's get to this. Anthony Davis, his injury situation or illness situation or whatever is going on. So Darvin Ham was asked after the loss to Warriors last night, what's going on with Anthony Davis? Is this illness related? And this was his response. He said, you have to ask our doctors for sure. For sure. That's what it feels like to me. But again, I'm not a medical professional. You have to talk to our doctors. That's Darvin's direct quote on what's going on with Anthony Davis. Is he sick? Is he hurt? Darvin says, you have to talk to our doctors. Reporters don't get to talk to the doctors. What is he talking about? This is crazy. We won't get to talk to the doctors about what's going on with Anthony Davis. So, and two things here. First of all, it makes me wonder, number one, are the Lakers just, and this is most likely, 95% sure, Darvin, he knows. He knows what's going on. He knows, is he sick? He said that seems what it is to him. Darvin said that's what it feels like to me, that Anthony Davis is sick. Probably got the same thing LeBron got, right? I'm going to talk about LeBron in a minute. Probably got the same thing LeBron got. But Darvin Ham says, you have to talk to our doctor. It feels like to me like it's an illness. 95% of me says, yeah, he knows. He knows what it is. He knows what's going on here. He just doesn't want to share it. Maybe there's a competitive advantage to the opposing team not knowing what's really going on with Anthony Davis later in the season. He just doesn't want to put that information out there. Okay. But like 5% of me wonders, does he really not know? Like, does he actually, like, AD's just not at the game and Darvin Ham doesn't know why he's there? Part of me wonders if that's actually what's going on here, because he's like, I don't know. You got to talk to the doctors, which you definitely can't do, but you got to talk to the doctors because I don't really know. Like, you're just looking around the locker room. Oh, AD's not here. Huh. Oh, well. It's crazy. Again, 95% sure he knows. He knows what's going on with AD. Darvin's saying it feels like to me it's illness. It was kind of what I was wondering is this Anthony Davis got, is it the eye or is it he got sick and he got the same thing LeBron got? Darvin says that's what it feels like to me. So it sounds like, yeah, he probably did wind up getting sick too. Terrible timing for the Lakers, by the way. LeBron himself talked about being sick and said the game against the Wolves, he showed up, and he could feel it. Wasn't feeling right. And he said, I know my body. I'm not feeling right. And he went home, and essentially he didn't leave his room until the Lakers then went and played the Warriors a couple days later. He said that's how sick he was. Like, he couldn't get out of bed, couldn't get out of his room, and then he went and played last night against the Warriors. That was his first time even leaving his room because he got so sick. So if Anthony Davis got the same thing, which, again, you hear about the headache, the nausea, all that kind of stuff, sounds like the flu, really, you know.